Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real.
Hello, everyone. It's time for Powerful Women Let's Talk. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Jennifer Moss, and today's powerful woman is Cassania Carter. She is the senior academic for the Office of Student Services with the Kirchhoff College of Nursing at Grand Valley State University. For more than 30 years, she's been a creative and enthusiastic and passionate educator, mentor, and advisor. Now, not only that, but she has a beautiful voice, which has led to her being involved with various plays, musicals, gospel recordings, and a whole lot more. She has sung the national anthem for various athletic events, including, get this, the Detroit Pistons. And so she's very involved in the community and is the founder and still a member of the Voices of GVSU, a wonderful group. This happened when she was an undergrad student at Grand Valley back in 1987. Cassania Carter, I just want to welcome you to Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Thank you, Jennifer. I count this an honor and a privilege.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you here with us. Thank you. So, you know, I don't know exactly where to start because you've been involved in so many things, but I think I want to start with the Voices of GVSU. Now, that started long ago, but you're still in it. You're still volunteering your time to keep that going. And you also have become a mentor to many students, which they even gave you a nickname, Mama CC. So how did you come up with the Voices of GVSU? Was it out of a particular need?
Yes, it was back when I was a student at Grand Valley. I was very active in my church choir at that time. And, you know, being on campus, it was really hard to go back and forth because at that time I didn't have a car either. And so I was really, really missing my church choir and missing that connection because I had an awesome mentor and choir director, Craig L. Tyson, who has passed away. But he would always call and motivate, you know, me to, you know, and keep me encouraged to stay involved in school and keep it up. And, you know, he knew that I missed the choir. So having that mentorship and him calling and keeping me uplifted really kept me going. And then I start talking to some of the students that were there, and they were missing their church choir and was missing things. So I started the Voices of GVSU as a way for us to stay connected to our roots and be on one accord, and then through, you know, song.
Absolutely. And again, you have a beautiful voice, and you all have done numerous performances in so many places, have you not?
Correct. We've had the opportunity to sing on various programs with one of the Clark sisters, Dorinda Clark Cole. We sang on programs with her, Rudolph Stanfield. We've even had the opportunity to sing at Marvin Sapp's church, and then various churches around the greater Grand Rapids area, the Detroit area, and Chicago area. When I was a admissions counselor at Grand Valley, I used the choir as a recruiting tool. So we had the opportunity to go into various high schools to introduce them to Grand Valley, but yet to introduce them to the gospel choir. And later on, I found that a lot of students came to Grand Valley because they were exposed to the gospel choir and were excited about the opportunity to continue on doing what they love to do in their home city, their home church, that they didn't have to give that up. And got a chance to meet a lot of parents who were excited when you're sending their son or daughter to a PWI, that knowing that someone that looks like them was going to be able to watch over their son or daughter.
And so, and the need for that, I mean, did you think that when you started it back in 1987 that it would grow to be as big as it is? Well, you all are pretty much in demand in a number of places.
I had no clue at that time. At that time, it was really the focus on what I was missing. And then when you grow older and mature and you see things outside your own little box, I saw that the need was there, and the need was not about me anymore. The need was about giving back and pulling in. So what I had been nurtured and matured with Elder Craig Tyson and Jerome Bennett, some of my music mentors, and Dwayne Bennett from GRCC, another one of my music mentors, I was able to give what they gave to me. So it was, in a roundabout way, it was a setup.
But it worked, and it worked really well. And I know that the kids, you serve as a mentor to so many students. I mean, obviously, you are at the Kirchhoff College of Nursing, but you also you serve as a mentor to so many students. How is that coming about? Did that have something to do with the choir, or did that just have to do with you and your belief in education?
I think a combination of both. Because I think that everybody needs a balance, and if we only focus on, sure, I can get a student to come to Grand Valley or to go to college, but we need things to keep them there. They, you know, if they're just focusing all on their academics and they have no personal life, we're going to lose them. So they need that balance to be able to take a break. I mean, we as adults need a mental break. We can't just work, work, work. We have to take a break during the day as well. So making sure that that student, you know, has that balance and knows that, okay, I can't get home, but I got someone that I can call. And I always tell the students, you know, I don't care what time it is. If you need me, call me. I'd rather talk a student out of doing something that may cause them harm, whether it's a bad choice. Even if my female student decided to go somewhere and they find themselves in a compromising position, call me. I will come get you. I just think having that support system is so important in these days and times. But back then, too, just knowing somebody cared enough to keep you on the straight and narrow way, but also listen. So I wasn't there to judge them. I'm there to help support them, you know, because I've been through a lot of things as well, and I don't mind sharing because I'm a strong believer that what you go through is not just for you, it's also to help someone else go through. So when I look back, even with losing my mom at such a young age, you know, when students lose a parent, I'm able to share. I'm able to help. I'm able to hear their heart. I'm able to, you know, share, like, hey, you know, I still go through it. You know, here I am at a certain age, you know, even now at 57, I still have those days where I miss my mom. And now that my dad's gone, you know, gone home to be with the Lord, I miss my dad. So, you know, it doesn't stop. Where most people say, oh, you'll get over it. No, you don't get over it. You get through it.
Absolutely. That's a good word there. And so you're in the education field, you're helping the students, and you have a belief about education, right, about students of all ages. Mm-hmm. Everyone should be able to thrive. Tell me about that belief.
That belief is that students don't care how much you know. So I could have PhD, be very published, and so on and so forth. They want to know that you care. So that's so important. You know, I can't, you know, I'm not a fan of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. I'm not a fan of that, even though a lot of people say it. I'm just a believer that it is up to us as educators to pour what we know into the students and to be there to support them along their journey, because they're coming to us great students already. Greatness is already inside of them. That's my belief. We are there to help pull that out of them. We are there to nurture and allow them to grow. Yes, they're going to make mistakes and things like that, but to not allow those mistakes to hold them hostage.
Yes. And so as we talk about powerful women, have there been any barriers that you perhaps have encountered as you traveled along your career's path? And I ask that knowing that I know that you had a daunting experience in your life. And tell us about that. It was a near-death experience, and that would that be encompassed as a barrier to you, would you think?
Yes, I would. I had a near-death experience where I ended up having a bowel obstruction, didn't know I was that sick, where it caused emergency surgery. And through all of that, I ended up in the hospital, in a coma, and then had a stroke and woke up from the coma, and I was paralyzed on the left side. And not knowing if that was permanent and things like that, and it messed with a lot of things within. I mean, I stuttered. I had to learn how to walk, talk, you know, and just get me back together. And it was really hard because, you know, when you are used to helping others, now you got to get to help yourself. And that was really hard. Then to, you know, I thank God for just Grand Valley and the support system that they had at that time, even with being able to not have to worry about, okay, you know, your doctor visits, you know, being at Mary Freebed, because I was with Mary Freebed I stayed there for, I think it was like about a month, if I recall. But then I also had to go there for a whole year of rehabilitation mm-hmm. in order to even be able to drive.
So you had to relearn everything. I mean,
until I passed that test, I couldn't drive.
Wow.
And so I remember one of my, I call him my play sons, Tyrese Guyton, would come and pick me up and take me to choir rehearsal because I couldn't drive. Just all of those things to have to depend on individuals to help me out. And that was a struggle to have to do that. But again, I know that we go through to help someone else. So, you know, when I have some students that may be struggling with, you know, their voice or stuttering, and say, believe it or not, I stutter and I still do. And these are the things that I've been doing to try to help me get over that. Or I get a little nervous now because certain things don't work the way they used to. I have to think a little bit harder, where I used to be able to remember numbers or remember this. I write down a lot of stuff. And sometimes I can notice the difference in building. I have to build my confidence back up that I can do this and that I'm not a hindrance. And, you know, all of those things that having something like that happen to you play a part in building yourself back up. But, you know, I'm a strong believer in faith. I'm a strong believer in God and my faith. And I know that that was very instrumental in me not giving up.
And really not a barrier per se, but more like a stumbling block, because you surely pulled it back together. Hmm?
Yes. And I still, like, even with some things, I still can see, I'm like, oh, I got to get this together. This is not going to happen. Like right now, I battle with Crohn's for the rest of my life and ulcerative colitis. So I get infusions every 8 weeks to try to help maintain my immune system and things like that so that I can continue to have every bit of normalcy that I can, and watching what I eat and trying to exercise and all of those things that help us stay healthy.
Absolutely. And it's a lot of work sometimes in doing that, but you know what you need to do so that you can enjoy your life. Now, you've come a long way, because you also are now, after all of that, I know you're running like 5Ks and 10Ks, so you've come a long way in turning that around.
Yes, and I enjoy it, and I enjoy it to the point of being able to give my disease a black eye. And I don't love running. I don't, you know, from that standpoint, I always tell me, this is not my life. This is my passion, to prove that you don't have to allow your shortcomings to dictate your future. So I'm not going to let Crohn's beat me. I'm going to beat it.
Absolutely.
It's in my life, but it doesn't dictate my life.
Wonderful. That's a good attitude to have. So tell me this too, Ksenia. On your road, the journey in life, you know, we all strive to move forward. Many women say, or they look back and say, you know, it took a while for them to get comfortable to find their own voice and kind of like to own it. Are you comfortable in your own skin? And if you're not, or if you weren't at some point, what did it take to get comfortable, kind of have that strong voice?
I had to learn how to love me. You know, sometimes we are so busy trying to fit in the mold of what society says makes you successful. So, you know, sometimes we allow titles to dictate our success mm-hmm. or our own self-worth. And that was a struggle for me, because I always thought, oh, if I don't have this title, or I'm not making a difference. But what I learned is, if I'm making a difference, if somebody's life is impacted. And for me, that's better than any $10,000 raise, to know that someone was impacted and their life is better because we connected and that we were able to overcome some things together. So I had a young man say to me, I'm a better man because of our conversations. I'm a better man because you checked me at the door when I was doing some things I didn't have anything to do. So now that I'm married and I'm a husband, I remember some of the things you taught me. $10,000 can't do anything than what that can, because now he carries that on and he passes the torch has been passed. And now I see him doing things in his community and making a difference. That right there changed my whole concept of my purpose and why I'm here. I'm not here for a title. I'm not here for a position. I'm here to make a difference and to impact.
Wow. And you definitely there. That you're owning your voice there. That's very good. So what leadership traits do you kind of like to see perhaps within you and yourself on this journey, or those that you work with, those that you mentor?
Lead by example. And, you know, I know that's a cliche that we always say. But when I mean lead by example, be able to say, okay, hey, I missed the mark. You know what? I messed up. Okay. Being able to own it. Own, as the students say, own your stuff.
That's right. They do.
You know, be able to say, hey, and part of being a leader is also learning. One of the things that I even love about my current supervisor or director, Kristen Norton, is that in our team of staff that we have, she allows each one of us to shine with our strengths. You know, so we have two staff members now that are just computer literate. I call one boy wonder, another one girl wonder. I mean, they just know. They know the computer, and they process things with technology so quickly. That's not my gift. Okay,
what did they say? Stay in your lane.
Yep, I stay in my lane. And she doesn't compare us to each other. She knows that it takes this to make this work this, and together we make a whole. And that is good leadership, is recognizing the strength of your team, because those strengths is going to make your team go forward, and not trying to have everyone looking the same. So that's some of the things that I love in a leader, is allowing your people to shine at the same time, building on some of my weaknesses, that my weaknesses can become my strengths. And even if they don't, they're not as weak as they were last year.
You have a good, enthusiastic, and positive way of looking at things. I'm learning things as I listen to you and talk with you. And I think that's where you're going with all of the things when you talk about barriers or leadership. You take your experience and you give it. You pass it on. Whatever it is you've learned from, you pass it to the next person. So tell me this. How do you balance your work life with your personal life? You know, because work is, especially these days with all that's going on, you know, sometimes it's hard. It's a blurred line sometimes. So how do you balance everything?
It's hard sometimes because I'm learning to say no. And sometimes in saying no, I'm still saying yes.
Right. I believe that.
But making sure I take some time out for me. And if anything, this pandemic has taught me is learning more about me and taking time for me. Because there was a time where we couldn't even, especially when we had a curfew. And I think that was like the hardest time for me, is when we had the curfew in Grand Rapids back in the summer. Mm-hmm. With the unrest of with George Floyd. And, you know, you're working all day, you know, because by then I had started, you know, adding walking into my regimen because of being quarantined in the house.
Right.
And then we had the curfew, and here I was working until 5, you know, sometimes not getting off till a quarter, you know, after, or 5:30, and then being told we got to be in the house, or we couldn't be out walking or anything by 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
That was very frustrating for me, because now you've taken my me time away. Mm-hmm. Because that was the time that sometimes I would leave, because, you know, Zoom calls and all of that kind of stuff can get to you after a while, because you're in the same spot. It's not like being at the office where you can get up and then go walk some way, you know, walk down the hall or what have you. I'm just walking into the kitchen and trying
Absolutely.
To make sure I eat what's right.
Right.
But to have that taken away, because sometimes I would walk so far that it's like, okay, now by the time I get home, it's like, okay, a breath of fresh air, change of attitude, because I changed my scenery. And that was hard, but I still had to take that time out for me. And that's in the process of saying no and still saying yes. I'm learning in this season to take some time out for me. And to say it's okay. It's okay if after I get off work that I don't get a chance to, you know, let's say vacuum on that Monday. But okay, it'll be okay. I can vacuum on Wednesday. It's okay.
Yeah, you don't have to be stuck to a schedule.
Yes.
Give yourself a break, basically.
Yes.
Give yourself a break.
Give myself a break into having this regimen that has got to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big deal. Okay, so here is one of my all-time favorite questions. I ask every powerful woman this. What makes you laugh? They say laughter is good for the soul. I know. I love to laugh, so that's one of my favorite questions. What makes you laugh?
I'm real silly, but most people who really know me know I'm always I'm finding something funny, or I like a good, I love memes. I love, sometimes I'll watch silly shows that most people are like, that is so stupid. Oh, well, but it made me laugh. I love comedy. I do like things like The House of Pain. Just something that is, it may not be real, but it just keeps me going. But I love a good joke, mm-hmm. a clean joke. And I love watching, I'll tell you, what really makes me laugh is sometimes watching Family Feud.
Because oh, my goodness.
It is just, it'll keep you really tickled.
Absolutely. And sometimes you're just, you can't believe. So it's like, really,
yes,
you're more interested in those questions. You're like, why is that up there? Really?
Yeah, like, really, you said that? I'm like, who, which people did you answer, you know, ask these questions to? So, and I do, I love, my little nephew keeps me laughing. Well, he's not little. He's 13 now. But some of his responses when we're talking just tickle me.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm like, he really said that to me?
know? Okay, and so one last question. As so much is happening in the world that we live in today, and people are often looking for a word of encouragement, I know we all are many days, do you by chance have any favorite sayings or mottos that you use to encourage yourself and others?
The challenge in front of me is not as strong as the power behind me.
Oh, wow. That's good. That's good.
What doesn't challenge you, you can't change. You know, you got to change, be able to, change is not always bad. And sometimes we are conditioned that change is bad. But if change makes you better, the challenge was worth it.
Yeah. And the change is okay.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And even if the challenge that changes you is scary, you still got to look at, are you better because of it?
Absolutely.
You know, you might not like the result, but are you better because of it?
Indeed. Cassania Carter, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. We want to thank you for joining us today and taking time to talk with us. And of course, I also want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us once again for this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Produced by women about women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real. It is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.